The Old Testament reading is from 2 Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12c. It's not often we get a break at a C. Sometimes a B we have now and again, or an A, but today we have a C. Hebrew reads fairly straightforward. Biggest question I have is why this is hooked with transfiguration. To me, it's not an immediately obvious connection. It would seem to fit very nicely with the ascension story, but for whatever reason, and we can share a few thoughts as we go through it. Let's go at the Hebrew. And it was when Yahweh took Elijah up. Okay, most of the translations kind of put that in the future, when the Lord was about to, when he was going to, or something. I'm not sure it's really built in here. This is simply the infinitive, in Yahweh's taking up of Elijah. And another thing that consensus of translators does not necessarily reflect exactly the Hebrew. Consensus of translators is to say, when Yahweh was about to take Elijah up in a tempest or storm or whirlwind or whatever word you use to translate it, to heaven. It's as though there is a directional word placed on heaven, and I think grammatically that is not necessarily the case. In fact, grammatically, I think what you have here is in a tempest of heaven, in a heavenly storm of some kind, a storm that came down from heaven. If you want to add what the translators do is they add a directional and they separate the heaven from storm. But I don't think grammatically that's what we have here. By the by, just look at the name Elijah and Elisha. Lovely names just in and of themselves. Eli Yahu. My God is Yahweh. Or Yahweh is my God. Lovely name. A name that is a confession. And Elisha's is not far off. Where is Elisha? Second verse, 1, 2, 3, fourth word, Elisha. You don't have the my God there, it's simply God, because the yod is not duplicated, and so the yod really belongs to the second half of the word, namely the root for salvation. God is salvation. God is Savior. Lovely names. All right. When Yahweh was in the process of, or was about to take Elijah up in the heavenly storm, Elijah went along with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, why don't you stay here? Okay, the shave is the imperative for Yashav, to stay, to remain, to sit. The na emphasizes the imperative, or is the clue for the imperative, and po is here. Why don't you stay here? Not really a harsh command, but it's a strong suggestion. Why don't you stay here? Because Yahweh shalachani, Kal perfect, shalach, to send, with the pronominal suffix, Yahweh has sent me to the house of God, to Bethel. But, and I think the while consecutive can be adversative now and again, but Elijah said, as Yahweh lives and as you live yourself, as your soul lives, I will not, and the M is introductory to a strong statement, I will not leave you. And so, they went to Bethel. One of the commentators that I looked at made the comment, and I didn't have time to track it down for myself, that you notice the word live here, as Yahweh lives, as you live, have two words, same consonants, different vowels. And the comment was, chai, with a pathak, is reserved for use in connection with Yahweh. And when other things are used in that same, in that similar kind of an oath setting, you simply have different vowels. As I say, no one had ever said that to me before, and I didn't have time to track it down, but it was an interesting comment. All right, again, some of the translations, when they say, I will not, for, they tend to translate, I will not forsake you. And I'm not sure the point is forsaking, as though running out on. I think the point is that there's a transfer of power here, and Elijah is not wanting to be separated from, Elisha's not wanting to be separated from Elijah. That is the point. It's not, I will not forsake you, I will not leave you. All right, verse 3. And the sons of the prophets went out from Bethel. I'm sorry. The sons of the prophets who were Bethel. And you notice from the footnote that a suggestion is that you add a Beth to the Bethel. Or another way to say it is, it's possible that through that one of the Beths got dropped out. All right, because you really need it grammatically. The Bethel describes the prophets. It's not the destination here. The prophets, sons of the prophets who were in Bethel, went out to Elisha. Interesting that Elijah is not mentioned here, but Elisha only. To Elisha, and they said to him, are you aware that the day, today, this day, Yahweh, this is a participle, taking, is about to take your master from upon your head. Which the from upon your head carries the same connotation as master. From over you, from overseeing you, or from leading you. And he said, even I know that, or something like that. Also, I am aware of that. Now, be quiet. It's an unusual infinitival imperatival form here, but consensus of scholars is that it is what it is, and certainly by the sense, it has to be that. Be quiet about it. And Elijah said to him, Elisha. A little bit of a textual problem here. We've got two objects of the saying here, two destinations. And if you look in the textual apparatus, there are two suggestions. One is you do away with the lo to him and add a preposition in front of Elisha. In other words, maintain the name Elisha. Or the other suggestion is do away with Elisha and keep it as it is. And Elijah said to him. One way or another, we've got an extra word in there. Why don't you stay here? For Yahweh has sent me to Jericho. Same pattern as we had above. And he said, that is Elisha, as Yahweh lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. And so they went on to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets who were in Jericho approached Elisha, Nagash, to come near, to approach. Approached Elisha, and they said to him, are you aware that today Yahweh will be taking your Lord from upon your head, from over you? And he said, even I know that. Now be quiet. So, Elijah said to him, why don't you stay here? You're kind of feeling I've been here before, right? Why don't you stay here? Because Yahweh has sending me to the Jordan. Here's the first time, first of the three occurrences of this scenario where you have the hate directive appended to the destination. And he said, as Yahweh lives and as you yourself live, I am not about to leave you. And so the two of them walked on. Verse 7. 50 of the sons of the prophets came or went and stood. Min Negev. Negev means over against, facing, and sometimes can be used in an adversarial sense or sometimes just in the sense of a stance, face to face. Standing over against them, that is Elisha and Elijah, from a distance, still a good ways off. And the two of them stood upon the Jordan, which is an interesting picture right there, standing on the Jordan. You notice the textual apparatus suggests maybe you want to add the word bank in there, just so people don't misunderstand that. On the bank of the Jordan, or literally on the lip of the Jordan. All right, and Elijah took his mantle, his cloak, his robe, and he rolled it up, very unusual word in Hebrew, and a little doubtful exactly what it means, but this is the best suggestion. Rolled it up, and he hit the water, and they, that is waters, because water is plural, they divided. Hena, wahena, same word repeated, and it's the word basically here. Here and there, to and fro, this side, that side. It's to say that suddenly there were two sides here after he got done hitting the water. And they passed, the two of them passed on through on dry land, reminiscent of the Exodus. In fact, this word dry land is the word that's used there, reminiscent also of the entry into Canaan when they passed through the Jordan River. The actual passing was not done in mud, it was done on dry land. And it happened that as they were passing over, crossing over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I can do for you before I am taken from you." I am taken is the Niphal imperfect here. Lakach, before I'm taken from you. And Elisha said, "Let there be." It's kind of reminiscent of what you have in Genesis. Let there be light. Let there be, you know, whatever. Let there be pi shanayim. Pi really means a mouth. Shanayim means two. Pi can sometimes is used in a way that we would translate in English as a portion or an amount or a figure. According to the, I got to check my notes here. As in the number of years, P of years, or the P of people who are eating. How many people are you going to have? That's how much food you got to have. That many portions. It's almost like a measure word. And what Elisha is asking for is a double measure of your spirit. I always grew up thinking that meant picturing him as being kind of greedy, you know. What Elijah has, I'd like two of them, please. All right? But in Deuteronomy, there is, and, 21. If you're interested, the same phrase appears in the context of the father portioning out his inheritance. The firstborn gets a double portion, gets twice as much as anyone else. All right? So if you have three sons, you divide your inheritance into four parts, and two go to the first one, and the other two each get one. So that's the double portion. And in that sense, what's talked about here is not wanting to have twice as much of God's Spirit as Elijah had. We're talking succession here. We're talking about his being the proper successor to Elijah. All right? He said, by implication, Elijah, verse 10, "Boy, that's a hard thing you've asked. You have made hard to ask. You have asked for a hard thing. If you see me taken from you. Taken here is missing what ordinarily you would want to have in a pu'al participle, namely the meme that begins the participle. It's kind of the marker of the participle. It's just gone here. And either it's a variant of the language or else it slipped out somewhere. There's no textual note about it. But clearly it's a pu'al part, pu'al participle here. If you see me taken from you, while I'm being taken from you is the sense, then it will be thus, as you asked, in other words. And if not, it will not be. Which is to say, what Elisha is asking, namely to be the proper successor, is not Elijah's to give. All right? And if it works out, cool. And if it doesn't work out, you know, the Lord has his ways of dealing with things like that. It's not Elijah's to give. And so as they were walking along, you have the participle and the infinitive absolute there, walk a duration sense. As they were walking and talking, another infinitive, behold, a chariot of fire and horses of fire came between the two of them. Parath, the verb there, hifil is... means to separate, to divide, to come in between. It pulled up right in between the two of them there. And Elijah went up in that storm from heaven, that storm of heaven. And Elisha was watching. And he cried out, my father, chariot of Israel, and its horsemen. And he, he saw him no more. And that's where the sea ends. Question there, the horsemen, actually the word can mean either horse or horseman. Question is whether that should be a plural or a singular. We've got the plural in the written text. Suggestion down below is the singular. And that is the question then, raises the question of what is it that Elisha was saying when he said, chariot of Israel and its horsemen. Was that the vision that he was seeing coming down, the heavenly host somehow coming down to take Elijah? And is that what he was articulating here? Or was this some form of honorific title of Elijah? Namely, my father, you who are the true chariot and horseman of Israel. And the reason that's an attractive option is because, for one thing, the Targum takes it that way and talks about words of the Targum are just interpretive words. You, that is, Elisha speaking to Elijah, you are better for Israel by your prayers than our chariots and horses. Besides that, and I think maybe even more important, at 1 Kings 13, and I've forgotten the verse, the same phrase is used of the person who was there when Elisha died. Likely then, and you know, he didn't go up into heaven. He didn't have that vision there. Likely then, this really is an honorific title of some kind. Where does this? What do we do with the text? Let me give you a couple of thoughts while Jim is getting ready to come up. The linkages with Transfiguration are there. As I said, I think it would fit more nicely with the Ascension theme. Elijah was there at the Transfiguration, right? He represented the prophets. Why does he represent the prophets? For one thing, he's the first of the prophets, major prophets. He never died, right? And in that sense, very normal, very natural, very easy for him to be there with Jesus. You have that movement from heaven down to earth in both scenarios. The cloud comes right down at the transfiguration, and you have this heavenly storm that comes down. Now, the function is different because Jesus still remains, whereas Elijah is taken up. But you do have that sense that in both of these situations, heaven and earth are particularly close that day. And God bridges that very easily. In terms of just preaching this on its own value, I think there's a lovely sermon in here, Elijah, that no one is forever, including pastors or prophets. Lord always has his way of preparing the next step, the successor, the one that carries the message on down, which is to say that with the Lord there is this long line of salvation that it keeps on moving. And I think that's one of the reasons you have the traces here of the Exodus and entry into Cana, all brought down to Elijah here. Now Elijah is pulled, and yet the movement still keeps going, and Yahweh still keeps his work of salvation and his presence with his people.